And now a reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and 13, and 26 through 31. Christ is just like the human body. A body is a unit and has many parts, and all the parts of the body are one body, even though there are many. We were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jew or Greek, or slave or free, and we all were given one Spirit to drink. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. If one part gets the glory, all the parts celebrate with it. You are the body of Christ and parts of each other. In the church, God has appointed first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, the ability to help others, leadership skills, different kinds of tongues. All aren't apostles, are they? All aren't prophets, are they? All aren't teachers, are they? All don't perform miracles, do they? All don't have gifts of healing, do they? All don't speak in different tongues, do they? All don't interpret, do they? Use your ambition to try to get the greater gifts, and I'm going to show you an even better way.
Well, I'm getting anxious to read the book from which we've been reflecting upon during the past few weeks. As I shared with you from the outset, I was intrigued after hearing the author of Wait, What? And Life's Other Essential Questions. I heard the author, Dr. James Ryan, being interviewed on a morning show. Dr. James Ryan evidently associates six questions with strategies to make our life more rich and full. And who of us isn't up for that? So although I've had the book downloaded for several weeks, I've not cheated and read it as of yet. For my intention is to reflect on those questions myself and then see how that reflection compares with Dr. Ryan's invitation to ask and answer those essential questions. So today will be our fourth of six Sundays. We're another 2 weeks away from seeing how far off I am. Today's question's an interesting one. Couldn't we at least? On the surface, having read that question the first time, I thought the concluding word to that question might be try. Trying things was a big issue in my formative years. My mom worked hard to raise independent kids. Sometimes I think she worked a little too hard at that, because looking back, I could have used a little more help on some things now and again. Mom's own childhood was full of hardship. A lot of love, but her family was poor. My grandmother, who died before I was born, was a homemaker in the old-fashioned sense of the word. She gardened, she collected eggs, she made their own butter. She sold her six daughters sold their dresses from feed sacks. My mama washed clothes on a board and cooked on a fire from coal. And the families used candles for light and an outhouse for, well, many of you know what that was used for. I always told my mom that God knew to delay my entry into the world about 25 years after hers. My maternal grandfather, who also did not have the privilege of meeting, did many odd jobs, including being the janitor at my mom's school. I've heard stories about when my papaw got really sick and couldn't go to school to do the job of lighting the furnace. My mom would walk a few miles to school way before daylight and light the furnace. And then my mom would walk the few miles back home to do her morning chores, then walk those same miles back to school, attend school all day, and she never made less than an A in all 12 years of her school. And then after school, she'd first clean the school, including throw that nice green-smelling stuff. I don't know if some of you are old enough to remember the green stuff they throw on the floor before they swept. So she would toss that out, and then long after her classmates had left the building, Mom would walk those few miles for the fourth time of the day, do her evening chores, and finally go to bed. Her life was full of love, but make no mistake, it was hard. Perhaps because of that, Mom wanted us to be resilient, to not give in to defeat on any part of life until we gave it our best. I'm sure many of you remember sayings of your moms. And today, especially for those of you without your mom's physical presence, I know you hang a little more tightly to those words. Listen to a famous exchange between my mom and me or my brothers, whichever one of us was on the brink of giving up. I can't do it. Yes, you can. I can't, Mommy. I can't do it. Can't never did anything. But he had a brother named Try. Trying was important in our family. In truth, it still is. And I believe it has over the years served my brothers and I well in not giving up, in playing the next play, in dealing with a variety of life's blows. So Dr. Ryan's question, I would say, couldn't we at least try? Well, let's move a little bit further. Try what? Try when? Try how? On Friday, I put a video on Facebook. I was up and at it early on Friday morning, cleaning closets and doing other things out of the ordinary that I normally don't do. I began to feel really anxious and nervous, and once that resonated with me, I then began to ask myself, why? Why am I cleaning closets at 7 o'clock on Friday morning? There was nothing going on at my business office or at church that were unusual. Things at home were great. And then it hit me. I was nervous and anxious because I'd spent the early morning listening to newscasts. And I swear, these days when you think it can't get any worse, something else happens. We move from worries about starting a war with Korea to worries about the state of our national intelligence agencies and how our elected officials are getting along or not. It is exhausting, isn't it? So after cleaning a few closets, I thought, well, I got to get to work. I went to my basement home office, trying to work my way down a really long Friday to-do list. And this tune kept coming in my head. A familiar tune. And then these words were just coming to me. Words so strongly and, to be honest, so aggravating that I finally just had to stop what I was doing and give in. And then I felt compelled to share them. I don't know why. I'd taken a shower that morning. I was somewhat presentable, but I was in an old t-shirt, no makeup. Certainly, I wasn't prepared for public presentation. We all know that whatever you put on Facebook, it lives. But I shared it anyway because I thought others might relate. And here's what I shared.
My heart breaks to see what has transpired. In spite of battles we have fought, our visions have grown tired. Just look at what we've done. Let bigotry, dishonesty, the rich and power have won. I look around and what I found is anger everywhere. So much is wrong, we've lost our song. Division everywhere. America, America, just look at what we've done. Let bigotry, dishonesty, the rich and power have won. So here we are in all this mess, with questions what to do. We should not run, we can't escape. It's up to me and you. America, America, it's not too late to be a country where we all respect and live in harmony. America, America, it's not too late to be a country where we respect and live in harmony.
Friends, our country is so divided. And I keep asking myself, how are we going to work our way through all this? And I feel like that God is putting things right in front of me, such as the quote on the front of our bulletin this morning. If you want to make peace, you don't talk to your friends, you talk to your enemies. So combining Dr. Ryan's third question with my own concluding words, couldn't we at least try to meet, perhaps halfway, even if we never cross to the other side arm in arm with one another? Couldn't we at least try to listen, even if we don't agree? Listen to why someone feels the way they do. Listen to someone else's story and experience. The power of listening. I want to thank again Brenda and Kenny, members of our choir, and others of you who attended Monday night's United in Acceptance encounter. Those three high school kids blew us out of the water. And if you weren't there, you should go on YouTube and watch it. I'm telling you, listening to those experiences of those kids as a Jew, as a child of a mixed race, and as a Muslim, wow. Could we at least try to talk with one another instead of talking past one another, to talk about our lives and find out that no matter how deeply we disagree in some things, we have some commonalities whether we admit it or not. We need to be loved. the need to feel like we belong and to be accepted, the need to be fed literally and otherwise, basic human needs. Friends, meeting, listening, talking. I don't know if that's where Dr. Ryan journeys with the couldn't we at least question, but it seems to me to be at least an option for us to consider, especially during these trying times in our country. But oh, if it were only in our country where disagreements find a home. If only for sometimes the disagreements that keep us up at night are those found in communities. And listen to me, church, sometimes in our faith communities. In the past week or so, we've had another round of our monthly meetings of trustees, elders, and council. And I'm telling y'all, these folks are so dedicated and commitment. They work really hard behind the scenes. So thank you. And yet, in spite of hard work and good intentions, sometimes decisions are made that others in the church might not agree with. It's been rare at Bluegrass for these differences in opinion to cause much more than a mild irritation here and there. But we've had a few occasions where it registered a little higher on the scale. We'd like to be pious or critical and say, well, if churches have arguments, then they aren't being church. If folks have disagreements, they aren't being Christian. We know those statements aren't true, don't we? I remember when I found a church, Woodland Christian Church, that finally welcomed and celebrated me for who I was. Shortly after, I was on the church council in what I call back of the house crew. You know what I'm talking about. The Broadway musicals always look polished and clean and professionally done, but we didn't see the argument between the director of the musical and the director of sound and lights. Ron's grinning. He understands that, don't you? Anthony understands that. Kenny understands that back of the house stuff, huh? We don't know that the two characters that seem to be obviously having onstage chemistry cannot stand each other off the stage. Back of the house stuff isn't always pretty. And truth, it can be hard to deal with sometimes. So I remember being a back of the house treasurer, James. I was doing that for 12 years. And I remember as I attended those council meetings, I was at some meetings where folks disagreed about how the church's money should be spent, or who should lead the council, or who should be ordained as an elder. And I was privy to some pretty trivial spats between leaders of the church. One time I was expressing some frustration. I said something like, I thought this church was different. I thought we were a kumbaya church, that everyone got along. And now I see it's just like other churches. People get upset and decide to leave or decide to make life difficult. Just makes me want to convene with nature and just leave this thing called church. A very wise and experienced elder at the church, Scotty Coon, came over and she put her hand on mine and she said to me, Marcia, people are people. And just because we walk into church, we are those same people. Now I got to tell you, her use of the pronoun we mildly annoyed me. But I got the point. Inasmuch as we'd like to avoid admitting, I don't care how good the church is, at some point there are going to be some disagreements. That does not make us any less Christian or less of a church. What it makes us is human. Now, what does make us less Christian and can make us less of a church is not having disagreements, but how we handle them. And I would add what we find ourselves disagreeing about. Paul, at one time, remember, the worst of the worst oppressors of the early Christian communities, finds himself as this leader not only of their faith, but of ours. And I can bet you some folks disagreed with that choice. Paul? Really, God? You called Paul? One of the churches that Paul founded and was closest to was the church at Corinth. And what we find here in chapter 12 of the 1 Corinthians is Paul's instructions concerning how church folks should see one another, should relate to one another, indeed to respect the gifts of one another. Paul reminds the church, you all belong, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free. Now think what a radical statement that was in the first century. And one in which I wish it still didn't take us so long to absorb, as churches still battle over who's in and who's out. Amen. We hear verses 12 and 13 about all of us belonging, and don't we just feel our chest puff out with pride? Because at Bluegrass, we have more than fulfilled a radical welcome. That's true. We have. And then Paul goes further. Dang it. Verse 26. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now, I think we can check those boxes most days, especially the suffering part. You know, we are blessed with an authentic, caring church family. Paul goes on, and now the puffed chest might begin to tighten. Now, you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts, and I'll show you a more excellent way. What is this all about? See, the church at Corinth had, in its short 3-year tenure, they had developed some bad habits, like judging one another, like not appreciating one another, like devaluing one another, like being jealous of one another. Really, you ask? Church family acting like that? You ever seen that in a church? Can we imagine deciding to leave church because we disagreed with who was nominated for a council position? Or who was chosen to be an elder? Can we imagine leaving the church because someone else was asked to sing a solo or serve as liturgist? Can we imagine leaving the church, or at least restricting our attendance or our financial commitment, because the pastor didn't respond in the way we thought she should? And if we're called to be pastor, can we imagine leaving the church because our feelings got hurt or our ego did? This, my friends, is what Paul was addressing. Instead of the Corinthians celebrating the variety of every single diverse individual, they moved to quick judgments without knowing any backstories of why decisions were made. They moved to indifference. They decided to support the things they agreed with and create roadblocks for things they didn't. When differences of opinion arose, they didn't seek to meet with someone who might shed some light on the matter. They didn't want to listen to the rationale, even if they didn't agree with it. They didn't want to talk about their feelings to someone in position to offer explanation. They chose instead to take the road leading out of the faith community that they once celebrated being part of. Friends, the faith community hadn't changed. The pastor hadn't changed. So what did change, you think? In truth, sometimes even when we make efforts to meet, to listen, to talk, there is still such a wide gap that it's best for all parties to move on. But for our part, in our church and in our world, couldn't we at least try to meet? Couldn't we at least try to listen? Couldn't we at least try to talk it out? I can't do it, Yes, you can. I can't. I can't do it. Can't never did anything. But he had a brother named Try. Friends, that brother Try might just lead us out of a really difficult stretch and move us deeper into community. Because left on our own, we might escape to the all too familiar terrain of rejection, loneliness, indifference, and a yearning for something greater than ourselves. Couldn't we at least